This story is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are a product of the author's imagination, and any resemblance to actual persons living or dead, business establishments, or locales is entirely coincidental. Silver Gecko Publishing presents Nanopolitics, a short satire by Kevin Carr, read by the author. Apparently, the initiating factor behind the war was the extreme distaste David Martin's Escherichia coli had for pistachio ice cream. Davis Martin did not realize the problem, of course, until it was too late. He was only getting a snack, which was nothing out of the ordinary for him. For the last 7 years at Sherwood University, Davis had devoted all his research hours to a simple problem with a complex solution, the expansion of consciousness. It was not a new concept, however, it was the first time that a major university funded the research. The foundation of Davis's research was based on material as far back as 1943. The infamous Philadelphia experiment, where the Navy tried to cloak an entire battleship. According to leaks and reports, the ship indeed winked out of existence for almost an hour. Of course, cover-up forces squelched any rumors as soon as they started, and those rumors were not hard to suppress during the international uneasiness felt during World War II if such technology fell into the hands of the Nazis. In an old writing that Davis had found, a tiny scrap that escaped the cover-up forces' scrutiny, a scientist on the Philadelphia experiment spoke of, quote, getting the right resonance, end quote. It was that phrase that sparked the creativity of Davis's mind as to how to approach the problem. Davis was not planning on cloaking a battleship. Actually, he was not planning on cloaking anything. Davis was, instead, interested in consciousness. He wanted to expand it, to explore it, to tap into the wealth of resources the human brain had to offer. And he knew that resonance was the key. What were thoughts but non-random sparks traveling through the brain's gray matter? Were not all brains responsible for their own set of waves? Davis theorized that if he could set up the right resonance frequencies against a set brain pattern, he could expand the consciousness and even reproduce it. Over the past 7 years, Davis developed his own personal equipment, sensitive machines that calculated just the right amount of electromagnetic radiation needed to match and superimpose the waves of the human brain. It took him 7 years to develop the equipment and perfect the settings. One day, it worked. It was not a spectacular sight, nothing that would spellbind a circus crowd, but it was enough for Davis to take notice. He saw the dials register brainwave resonance. He felt an awkward awareness in his head. He sensed the ridge of his consciousness broaching its present boundaries. Attempting to be as removed and as unbiased as possible, Davis recorded his settings and turned off his equipment before his consciousness became altered or expanded to an undetermined degree. He wanted to remain a simple observer. On his way to his desk to analyze the data and results, Davis Martin stopped by a freezer he kept in the lab and dished himself out a reward, a bowl of his favorite treat, pistachio ice cream. Although he had been trying to lose weight over the past few weeks, he figured he deserved a treat. That was when the trouble started. For years, his E. coli had done their job in his intestine. For years, they had digested the food and processed his nutrients without even the slightest hint of dissatisfaction. However, now under the influence of, quote, just the right resonance, the E. coli protested. No more of this pistachio ice cream, it said. We've had it with processing all these sugars and fat. Put something natural inside you that we all like. Davis, of course, could not hear the E. coli, so he continued to eat his ice cream. Quickly, the E. coli became furious. How dare he ignore them after all they had done over the years? In moments, the E. coli debated their situation and came up with a solution. One more spoonful, they protested. If you eat one more spoonful, we'll strike. We will cease our activities and refuse to process anything. Davis Martin, ignorant of the situation within his abdomen, took another bite. The E. coli were not joking. They meant business. As soon as they detected another impending mass of pistachio ice cream, they stopped processing his food. The cells in his intestinal wall started to squirm. They tried to remain nonpartisan, but they found themselves suddenly dragged into the mess. Without the E. coli to digest the food, they quickly began to feel blocked up. As polite as they could, they sent a message through the synaptic pathways to the stomach. Stop the food flow! The stomach cells lurched. They suddenly felt cramped and could not enjoy the pistachio ice cream they liked so much. They knew it was the E. coli's fault. They knew that they would not feel this way if those meddling bacteria had not made such demands. The stomach decided to teach the E. coli a lesson. When the stomach acid began to flow into the intestine, the E. coli raged. The fiery substance killed many of their brethren and wounded others. In a desperate plea, the E. coli begged the liver for help. The liver cells did help, but not out of consideration or compassion. Their motivation was simple. More stomach acid meant more bile salts required in production, and that would exceed their comfortable workload. Using the neutral state of the blood as a courier, they sent a message to the brain. You see, the liver knew it would have a kinship with the brain. They were both organs, after all. They were separate amongst themselves, more than just a collection of cells. The liver knew that when it came between overworked E. coli and the free body as they knew it, the brain would ultimately choose in favor of organ autonomy. Stop it! The brain demanded of the digestive tract. However, the rogue cells did not heed its warning. The brain repeated its command, but to no avail. It was confused. It panicked. For countless years, it had been in total control, but now, well, it was simply a revolution. Not really knowing how to gracefully handle the situation, the brain took a stand. It shut off the medulla oblongata, the control center of all involuntary functions. The stomach cells wailed when they felt their control and coordination leave them. Without the medulla oblongata, the brainstem, they were useless. The E. coli cursed the brain for its cowardly act. We're real cells down here, you know, they screamed. We've got rights! Let's settle the problem, the brain replied. After we discuss, then I will reinstate the brainstem functions. But for now, the sanctions stand. Although it pleaded to the stomach cells, the E. coli could not convince them to remain true to the cause. Not at all pleased with the manipulation occurring, the E. coli declared war and called for every cell to choose a side. If you're not with us, you're against us, the E. coli raged. From a distance, the flesh saw the turmoil. It really did not care what happened to the silly organs and the cells. It had its own life to live, and it refused to get involved. However, when the automatic neural responses to maintain normalcy in the flesh were disturbed, it pleaded with the brain for clemency. The flesh knew that it could not sweat without the commands from the medulla oblongata, and if it could not sweat, it could not cool itself. That's it, the flesh said in frustration and distaste as it saw the peaceful negotiation over the brainstem were accomplishing nothing. I don't need you at all. There's plenty of other places to go. And suddenly, the flesh left the body, just ripped itself from the bone and scurried away. When the cool air struck the muscles and internal organs, they immediately forgot their differences with the brain. The immediate need for safety and shelter took precedence. It was apparent that the brain would not show mercy on them, even in such dire straits. En masse, the organs fled, an exodus from the soon-hollow shell that once was Davis Martin. They tried to move far, but unfortunately did not make it past the hallway of Davis Martin's lab. Without each other's combined efforts for survival, they soon perished. The brain, starved for oxygen and trapped within the naked skull of Davis Martin, declared itself victorious, confident that it had stood its ground and had succeeded in removing the domestic aggression. The end. This audio recording of Nanopolitics has been a presentation of Silver Gecko Publishing, copyright 2020 by Kevin Carr, all rights reserved, published in the United States of America. Nanopolitics first appeared in The Ghost Reader and Other Stories by Kevin Carr. Key art by Benjamin Geza.